One of the titles the Bible gives Christ is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 says this, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I just want to declare that this year, God is going to help you get your peace back and walk in peace. And that the peace of God is so powerful, it's not the evidence of a storm leaving, it's the evidence of his presence coming. And God is going to give you this year so many victories in the arena of your peace. In Isaiah chapter 53, this famous, beautiful, messianic chapter that talks about what Christ would do, what he would fulfill for us as his beloved people and children. The Bible says this in verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Think about grief and sorrow and Christ absorbing that on the cross. "We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions." A transgression would be a sin. "He was bruised for our iniquities." And the difference between a transgression and iniquity, iniquity would be the nature that causes the transgression. So he not only on the cross took my sin, he took my sinful nature. He defeated both of them for me. He was wounded. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Every enemy of my peace of mind, Jesus Christ has won the victory over. And by his stripes we were healed. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. I declare this day in Jesus' name, the devil can't keep you from walking in peace. Peace is God's gift to you. Peace is God's will for you. Peace is God's power in your life as a believer. The moment you came to Christ, he gave you peace. In the Old Testament, the word peace is one of the most powerful Hebrew words. It's the word shalom. Maybe you've heard that. And it has a far-reaching and deeply consequential meaning. And it means completeness, wholeness, when nothing is missing or nothing lacking, to restore, to repair, to have health, prosperity, harmony, soundness, satisfaction. Rabbinic teaching tells us that the letters in the Hebrew word, so the Hebrew alphabet, like many ancient alphabets, was formed from an agrarian time when they were originally symbols, like an axe became a letter and other things. And the letters form the word picture. Shalom forms the word picture. Listen to this. Peace comes when you destroy the authority of chaos. Peace comes. And so shalom is the picture of chaos being destroyed and peace being the result. Peace comes when you destroy the authority of chaos. If there's one thing that could describe the last year in the world, it would be chaos. That the enemy has sowed chaos everywhere, confusion, trying to disrupt every system and every country and every person. But we have a God who conquered the authority of chaos, and we are not ruled by chaos, we're ruled by peace. And I just want to encourage you, this is your year to walk in peace every day, no matter what's happening in your world. Just three simple points. Point number one, peace of mind begins with having peace with God. There are in this room, believe it or not, even though they're well-dressed, their hair is shorter, their clothes are more appropriate, there's a bunch of ex-hippies in this room. And remember this, peace, peace. It wasn't a Nixon sign for victory. Before that, it was peace. Okay, peace. And the world always is in a quest for peace. Then the solution is, who has peace that we can receive from? Will it come from the new drug that they're legalizing? Will it come from this practice or this behavior or this relationship? And God says there's no such thing as a lasting peace without knowing Jesus. Oh. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to encourage you, believers, it's not your works that make God happy. It's the blood of Jesus in your life. When God looks at you as a believer, he sees you clothed in the righteousness of Christ. He sees your sins washed away and your new nature as a child of God. God's not angry at you. Your wife might be, but God's not angry at you. God's not mad at you. We have to tell the world that's raging and is misidentifying and misunderstanding the gospel core message. God's not mad at them. You might be, but God's not. The culture, the further it goes from God, the crazier it acts. But God loves crazy people. You might be a person that identifies that. God loves crazy people like you and me. God loves difficult people. You might be one. Just saying, not a prophecy. Ephesians 2 says this in this great chapter. The whole chapter is so rich, but for time's sake, let me just close with verse 14. For he himself, Jesus, is our peace. What did he do? Well, who has made both one and broken down the wall, middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace. And the portrait was this, that Jewish people were close to God by covenant, by Abrahamic covenant, by Davidic covenant, by God's long-standing walk with them. But Gentiles had no covenant with God, and God said, I'm bringing everybody close. I've broken down the wall that kept Gentiles from coming to their Savior, and I've broken down the wall that kept Jews from knowing their Messiah. He said, I'm making one new man. And that's everyone that knows Christ Jesus as Savior. Everyone who's received the saving grace of a loving God through Jesus Christ. And because of that, Jesus is my peace. Come on, when I was a kid, I was afraid of, the evangelists to try to get a good altar call would scare the hell out of us and tell us, God knows what you did last night. He saw you. You need to come. You need to get saved again. Okay. You don't want to stand in the judgment seat of Christ and have every sin in your life played on the screen for the universe to see. Here's your life, maiden. Here's you at 12. Naughty boy. Are you kidding me? The Bible says God has forgotten my sin. Come on. Judgment seat. Hi, Jesus. Man, it's so good to be home. No fear. Why? His love has conquered my fear. And I know he's for me, not against me. And so God gives us peace through Jesus. Second point, at the cross, Jesus conquered every enemy of your peace of mind. There are so many. Dr. McCray would know this. Pastor Judy, we have two of the world's best counselors sitting in the front row. But in the catalog of mental infirmities, every year it grows because we're finding new phobias. Things people are afraid of. Now, these fears are real. And a real counselor has diagnosed it, then identified it and labeled it. But Jesus died to set you free from every fear. Fear of heights, fear of clowns, fear of balloons, fear of churches. That could be a fear. Whatever it is, Christ died to free us. Jesus wore a crown of thorns to deliver and heal us from every mental disease and oppression. Peace isn't the passive result of your storm ending. It's the powerful weapon God's given you to conquer every storm. The moment you said yes to Jesus, he gave you authority to say no to every storm trying to steal your peace. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The punishment of my peace was upon him, and I'm healed because of him. They twisted this crown of thorn deeply, embedding it into the skull of Christ. And of course, there was so much pain in what Christ suffered physically. But as Christ is doing this physical, torturous moment, God is allowing it to stand in place of all the mental infirmity of a hurting world. And I just want to say, this next move of God, people are going to be healed from every diagnosed mental infirmity there is. People are going to be set free. Because Jesus, we have people healed in this church on a regular basis from serious life-threatening cancers. And we're about to see schizophrenia, every kind of disease conquered by Christ. You see, Christ didn't just come to forgive our sins. He came to reverse the curse. He came to undo what was done to us. And so everything that was spawned by the fall of man in the sinful condition that we found ourselves in, every evil, hurtful, oppressive thing, Jesus conquered at the cross. There's nothing Jesus thought about 2021 when he was hanging on the cross. And he said, I'm going to take care of that too. No matter what the world throws at my people in 2021, I am their peace. And I will give them peace to overcome it. We sang about our triumphant Jesus. Well, the triumph of Jesus is best witnessed in the victorious life of his children. In 2021, when you have peace, you're winning. When you have peace, the devil has lost. If the devil can't steal your peace, he can't stop your purpose, and God's going to show off in this season of your life. The devil can't defeat the believer who doesn't lose their peace. Okay, last point. Third point in the shortest message you'll ever hear at this church. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we have the great right and privilege to live in peace for all of our lives. So peace is your inheritance, God's gift to you by grace. And then it becomes our responsibility to steward it. Okay, Jesus said this in John 14. He's getting ready to leave, and he pours something into the disciples and through them to us. Peace I leave with you. My peace. Come on, my peace that destroys the authority of chaos. My peace I give to you, not like the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm going to put a meme on this week in my social media of the newscaster saying, what can we do to stop being afraid? And the guy on the couch turns off the TV. You have to steward your input in order to live in the peace of God. You have to watch what comes in. And Jesus said, I give you my peace. Whose peace was it? His. Oh my goodness. I have the peace of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So peace is no longer this passive, indifferent, quiet voice in me. Peace is my champion. Jesus is sound asleep. They wake him up on the boat. The boat's in jeopardy. He looks at the waves and the wind. He screams, peace. And everything calmed down. Peace is a weapon. Amen. To calm your storm. You speak it over your marriage, your family. I've been in many intense environments over the years. Many. And from emergency rooms and hospitals to all kinds of intense moments. And I have found that when I unleash the peace that I'm carrying, the atmosphere there changes. And as long as I'm there, they're going to be in peace. Because my peace is ruling over the environment that God extends my life to influence. You're a carrier of peace, and there's no more powerful witness this year than you walking and living in the peace. John 16, 33, these things that I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, thipless, pressure, stress, crushing, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I've overcome the enemy of your peace. Philippians 4, the last scripture I'll read to you. Then we'll pray, and you have to stay for the last song, because confetti comes out and the brass guys play. It is amazing. Philippians 4 says, be anxious for nothing. Be worried about nothing. So anxiety, what is anxiety? It's a form of fear. It's a manifestation of stress. It's when your mind has lost the government of peace and is now functioning under the influence of fear. And God says, don't ever let fear control you. Be anxious about nothing. Now, I have my handsome, athletic, successful son here, Matthew Maiden. And love him like crazy. Gave me four beautiful grandkids. They were doing so good, I wanted them to keep going, but they said, four is enough. I love my son to the moon and back. I love all my kids. Here's what I found out, though. When he became an adult and moved out, he never left my heart. It's almost harder to work with your adult kids than when they're small. That's small, you tell them, stop it! They're adults, you just, God, please stop it. Help Matt. If you're a parent and you're not praying, you'll be living in constant anxiety. If you're single and want to become a prayer warrior, get married and have a baby. This flows together. But my point is this. I love having children. And to overcome the stress of their life and my grandkids, give it to Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, everybody say everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. So don't stress about it, pray about it. Then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just and pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of a good report, if there's any virtue, any praise, anything praiseworthy, think on, meditate on these things. So here's what God says. Take your worries, give them to me, and then put a filter in your mind. And if it ain't good, if it's not lovely, if it's not pure, if it's not praiseworthy, don't let it in. Come on, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you don't have to let them make a nest in your hair. A thought comes, so what? Don't let it stay. And so this verse says this, I'm closing with this idea. When we put our cares in God's hands, he puts his peace in our hearts. Peace is the evidence and reward of the renewed mind. Peace is in the absence of trouble, is the presence of God. Stay in peace and make it God's fight. You know why I make it God's fight? Listen, whenever I'm combative and engaging in a cultural war, something's going on, I'm always doing the wrong thing. It doesn't mean you can't be active. Of course, be active. But you have to fight in the spirit and love in the natural. The only thing that's going to heal America is the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus. That's the only thing. A real revival where hearts are touched and God can do it. Someone was asking me, is there any hope? Of course there's hope. This is all a setup for the greatest revival America's ever seen. Just fasten your seatbelt and watch what God does. The Lord was speaking to me some things about politics today. I don't like it when he talks about politics. But he was showing me things that would happen in the future. Everything the devil tries to do, God will always outmaneuver him. Now, just for a moment in closing, would you just grab your hands in front of you and hold them, maybe cup them together, if you're able to. I'm going to ask you to imagine all the problematic issues that can be anxiety triggers in your life. Whether it's your family, your current status, your marriage, your kids, your grandkids, your health, your business, whatever it is. Just imagine that thing right there. The Bible says, give it all to God. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you, 1 Peter says. So in just a moment, I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hands and say as you lift your hands, Jesus, I give you everything. And just put it all in Jesus' hand. And then keep your hands raised, because then there's a word that's going to download peace. When I put my cares in his hands, he puts his peace in my heart. Thank you, God. I pray in this moment, Lord, that there would be such a sweeping lifting of burdens to every precious person here and watching. In Christ's name. Let's do it on the count of three. One, two, three. Jesus, I give you everything. Just tell him. Maybe you want to say specifically, I give you my family. I give you my current situation. I put it all in your hands. Prayer makes it God's fight. Prayer puts God in charge. I'll give it all to you. Now, I want you just to profess his peace and say it out loud. Thank you for your peace that guards my heart. Say it out. Say this out loud. This year, I will live and stay in the peace of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to me.